It's time to take off your clothes, enjoy clothes-free living, and join us for Naked, Nudist, and Naturist.
Welcome to Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, the show that celebrates clothes-free living for all. I'm your host, Frank Stone.
And I'm your correspondent, Lisa Monroe, and I'll be reporting on all things within the naturist community. So it's time to get naked and join us.
And enjoy clothes-free living on Naked, Nudists, and Naturists. Well, greetings and welcome in to Naked, Nudists, and Naturists, episode 28 today, our very first show of 2024. So happy New Year, and we hope that you have a wonderful clothes-free 2024. Well, come on in. The water is fine. The hot tub is rocking and rolling. Hamburgers on the grill. We have a stocked cooler as always. So come on in and let's have a great hour together as we celebrate clothes-free living for all. Well, on today's show, we will briefly speak with Bruce from Adelaide, Australia, a longtime Pentecostal pastor. Gave all that up. He had kept his naturism life in the closet for a long time, and now he's out there celebrating clothes-free living every single day. We'll talk to Bruce about that. Our naturist correspondent Lisa Monroe will be here, and she and I will discuss places where you can legally be nude. How about that? And a little later in the show, we will have part two of my interview with nudist, nude model, podcast host, author, the highly energetic author, Christy Jessica. Lots to do on today's show, so let's get to it right away. My interview with the terrific Bruce down in Adelaide, Australia, all about his naturism journey. So let's head out to Australia, down in Adelaide, which I looked up, by the way. It's 10,000 miles from where I am by airplane. I'm guessing it would take a lot longer to get there if you walked. But by the way, you can't walk there. It's all water. Yeah, about 10,000 miles away. We want to welcome to the show this morning a listener to the show, and he's written some nice things and also explained how he found naturism and how he is incorporating it into his life. So let's welcome from Adelaide down in Australia, Bruce. Good morning, Bruce. How are you today, sir?
Yes, good morning, Frank. It's so good to finally chat to you. And I'm having a great clothes-free time with you at this interview, like it should be.
Absolutely. So you can verify 100% that I am an actual, because we do these interviews through video, you can rest assured and tell everybody else in the naturism community, I'm an actual human being, not an AI kind of guy. Can you verify that?
I can verify that for sure.
Okay. Well, your story, when you sent us an email, it fascinated us. You were a naturist even before you hit puberty, as you pointed out, and then you just couldn't find enough reasons or enough times to get your clothes off. Every time you got a chance, you went for it, and then you became a Pentecostal pastor, and that particular church or faith or whatever said, you know, having your clothes off, especially in social situations, is a sin. And so you kept it under wraps, literally and otherwise, for years. And recently, after being married for a very long time, I think 25 years or so, you told your wife, oh, by the way, honey, I love you. We've been married forever, and I am a naturist. Probably should have told you before, but here we go. And so you have quite a fascinating story. Maybe just tell our listeners, so far what I've said is correct. You were a naturist, but you kept it under wraps, and then, but now you're not. Is that basically it?
Basically, you know, the lifestyle had always interested me. Mm-hmm. I was always had the questions like, well, why can't we live without clothes? Yeah. You know, yes, I know there's times you need them for, you know, protection or something, but that had always been there. And as a Christian, I worked out that, well, that's how Adam and Eve was. That's how God designed us to be. Mm-hmm. But that's not how we live today. So that made me ask many questions. And yes, I did become a Pentecostal pastor, and it was very much implied by the church that, you know, social nudity is not right. It's sin. It causes lust. It causes immoral behavior, things like that. But at the same time, I guess I had some experience even before I became a Pentecostal pastor where I hadn't seen that. You know, so even though I heard that it causes lust, it causes sin, I hadn't actually witnessed that in my own experience. So that also caused me to ask questions. I guess I was at the stage where if the church says it, I will believe it. So I accepted the fact that, okay, what I'm doing is wrong. So I become a closet nudist. I don't know if that's the right word, but it sort of fits there, a closet nudist.
Absolutely.
Would go off to pastors' conferences with the general rule that as soon as I hit the hotel and open my hotel room door, my clothes are off, and that's where they stay on the floor until I leave that room again, you know. At the same time, you know, if there was an opportunity there, I would often just sneak off to a nudist beach or occasionally a secluded beach late at night. Mm-hmm. Just experience the freedom of not having those clothes on.
Yeah. Now, I'm guessing as a pastor of a church, had they found out about that, they might have said, hey, Bruce, you got to go. You can't be the pastor here anymore. Is that a fairly accurate assessment?
I would be assuming that would be an accurate assessment. There's basically every year you'd have to renew your credential, and part of that would be filling in a survey. Oh. And one of the questions on the survey is, have you done anything that could bring a movement into disrespect, you know? Sure, sure. So basically, if the media got hold of something would it cause some problems in our movement?
Yeah.
And every year I'd mark no.
Yeah.
Because it would depend on how you look at social nudity.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think there would be others that would disagree and say I should be marking yes.
Yeah, sure. Now, you mentioned the general theme or the belief of the church or people in it was social nudism promotes lust and it promotes sexual activity, and however you said it, most people, if not everybody to whom I've spoken, believes it's actually the opposite. It's hard to explain to a non-naturist, but when the clothes come off and you're doing it in social situations, the lust disappears. There's probably no way to explain that other than from God himself. That's how he made us. So when we dress as he made us, all of a sudden everything falls into line. Do you agree with that? Is that what's happened with you?
Yeah, it's really interesting because I guess I stepped away from the movement that I was in, and that was for other reasons, not for social nudity at all, and begin to examine what the Bible said. And I actually almost found the opposite. You know, that social nudity actually really quite lines up with a lot of the scriptures that before you couldn't explain. You know, like in the Old Testament, the men got circumcised as a sign. Well, how did anyone ever see that sign if they were covered the whole time?
Exactly.
You know, how would anyone know?
That's right.
You know, so there was, there was a lot of things there. And I guess I found almost an opposite. But when it comes to the seen the sexual side of it, it's amazing how it all changes when you're just around others that just enjoy being nude socially. They're not looking for anything else. Now, you know, in saying that, I know, you know, you can go off to a nudist beach and there may be some people there that are looking for something else. But in general, most of them are social nudists, just tapping to enjoy the sunshine and the freedom, you know.
Yeah.
Now, even in the textile world or those that are clothed, hey, let's face it, there's people that are clothed that are looking for something else.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know some guys, I don't know them well anymore, but I used to, when they went grocery shopping, they were checking out every woman in the place, up and down aisle one, aisle two, aisle three, look at her, whatever. Hey, check the one out on aisle four. And they were fully clothed. So being nude doesn't mean suddenly you start checking out women. Men tend to do that anyway. But for whatever reason, when the clothes come off and you're living clothes-free for all the right reasons, as we like to say here, all of that disappears. And somebody pointed out to me, you see a woman on the beach and she has a bikini, a small bikini, and basically only three small parts are covered up. Well, your attention is going to go to those three parts because it might be a yellow bikini, which gets your attention, or an orange or bright blue. And so now we are focusing on those parts. Whereas nude, oh, there's a nude woman anyway, what's for lunch? It just disappears. Do you think it's because that's how God made us, and returning to that just fits his design?
You know, the Bible actually talks about renewing your mind. I think that's part of what's gone on in my journey of faith. I've had my mind renewed about certain things. And I guess a question I always had from a young age was, you know, as I went through Sunday school and was taught the Bible, you know, and I was taught how Jesus came, he died for our sins, you know, so that we don't have the penalty for sin, for that sin anymore. I thought, well, why then do do we still need to wear clothes?
Yeah.
If we're forgiven and the penalty's being paid, why do we still need to wear clothes?
Yeah.
You know, because clothes obviously come in after Adam and Eve had sinned. Yeah, I do think to a certain extent that's how God made us. And there is a freedom and a joy there that people don't understand unless right. they try.
That's right.
You know, one of my favorite scriptures is the one where it says that Jesus has come to set us free.
Yeah.
You know, right. for many years I thought I understood that.
Yeah.
All right. But since I've become more public in my naturalist state, now I'm beginning to understand it. You know, the freedom just to be able to take those clothes off in when I can. It's like, oh, you can't explain it, you know.
No.
You can't explain jumping in the water totally naked and going for a swim, you know. There's just this freedom there.
That's right. Last question for you, Bruce. We're talking to Bruce from Adelaide down in Australia. After 25 years of marriage, you told your wife, oh, by the way, honey, I'm a naturist. And she reacted fine. Like, she's not willing to dive in with you yet, but she has no problem if you're nude around the house, as long as your kids aren't there, right?
Yeah, well, I guess there was a bit of build-up time, you know. Like, sure. there was a few shows that had come on TV and that we stumbled across on the internet that I was interested in watching. And I watched them at night when it's just my wife and myself. And one of them was, it was an ABC show. I didn't agree with everything on it, but it was You Can't Ask. It was called You Can't Ask That. And they got, I think it was six different nudists on, and the theme was a nudist. What questions would you ask a nudist? Well, all these nudists, when they come on, got filmed nude,
right.
you know, on this show. Yeah, so there's a bit of build-up time there with my wife, and I remember after we finished watching that show, I said, no, I can relate to most of what they said there, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah, eventually I just said, well, I guess I didn't say, look, I'm a naturist. I said, look, I want you to know that I love it when I don't have clothes on.
Yeah.
And that I take opportunities to do that. Often when I'm in the house alone, I take my clothes off. You know, when you've gone out with the kids and you want me to cook dinner, I'm normally in the kitchen cooking dinner naked.
There you go.
When I go off to conferences, my preferred attire is no clothes. So if I can, in the hotel room, wherever I'm staying, that's what happens. Yeah. You know, I guess I told her like that, and she was quite accepting of it. Did say, you know, she doesn't believe it's something for everyone. She doesn't think it's for her, but she's happy for me to do that. To the point that she even agreed recently for me to join a nudist club, which I'm currently about 3 weeks into.
Yeah. Well, that's terrific. You have a great story, and we're going to have you back. We're going to have you on a couple of shows in June of 2024. And again, we've been talking to Bruce, a former Pentecostal pastor, loved naturism, couldn't find a way to practice it, but now he is fully blown into it. And Bruce, great story, and thank you for your time today. We'll talk again as we approach summer in the United States. I guess it'd be winter where you are, but have a great clothes-free day, and let's talk again soon.
Yes, you too, Frank. Have a clothes-free day. Looking forward to talking again.
All right, thank you. What a terrific gentleman down in Adelaide, Australia, enjoying clothes-free living for all the right reasons. And we thank Bruce for his time on today's show. We'll have a longer interview with him as we get into the month of June this year, 2024. You are listening to Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, episode 28 today. We really enjoy this time together. Thank you for being with us. And now, as you can tell by the music that is sneaking in on us, it is time for our resident naturist correspondent, the terrific Lisa Monroe. Well, there she is, all naked and happy and smiling, the terrific Lisa Monroe. Good morning, Lisa. How are you today?
Good morning, Frank. I'm terrific. And you, all smiling and without clothes this morning?
Absolutely. Did you properly ring in the new year at 12 midnight? Were you nude as the day you were born, saying Happy New Year to the world, or were you sleeping?
Isn't that the only way to do that? Is naked at midnight, ringing in the new world? Absolutely.
I don't know of another way if there is. So I just wanted to confirm you rang in, you left the old year in great form and you began the new year in great form.
23 is behind us. 24 is going to be a wonderful and naked year.
Absolutely.
And a happy new year to everyone.
Yeah. Happy new year to all. I wanted to look at this article today. Apparently, there was an incident in the country of Malaysia. Some people from other countries went there and they decided to get naked and pose for pictures in front of historic sites. Well, some of them got arrested. The others haven't been found yet. And they were sent to jail for 3 days. And they also had to pay a fine of over $1,000. So this site came out with places you can get naked legally and not get arrested. So I thought that's probably the safer way to go, don't you think?
I think it's safer. I mean, you know, we're all tempted. We want to experience a location, but, you know, just be doing it where the gendarmes are not going to be around.
Yeah, I've never been arrested, but I'm guessing it's probably not a fun way to spend your day or weekend.
I don't think it would be. I have never been, and I do not ever want to be.
All right. Well, one of the things they listed, and they list several, and we've talked about this one before, naked bike riding. They say every year cyclists around the world strip and ride their bikes through city streets for the World Naked Bike Ride, which aims to raise awareness about bike safety and protest against car culture. Okay, that's what they said. We're not here to confirm or deny, but naked bike riding, when it's sanctioned, I know you've never done that. I've never done that. But is that something you would do someday?
You know, if I was a better bike rider than I am, probably, but I think it's a wonderful thing. I happen to see, long story, but there's a cam for New Orleans that's on Bourbon Street, and I was riding, and I liked that background noise, and all of a sudden, I heard all these hoops and hollers and looked up, and there was naked bike riders going down the street. It was their bike ride day and I didn't know. Mm-hmm. It looked so much fun. But then in New Orleans, they know how to have fun. So, you know, somewhere else might not be getting all the cheers.
Yeah. Well, I've never done that, but I would imagine, you know, the breeze against your skin, you're out in nature just riding your bike, where this maybe the same place that a day ago and a day later, you'll have clothes on. But for one day in that city, in that area, you can be nude riding your bike, and it's sanctioned, and it's legal, and you won't get arrested. So maybe not a bad idea.
A very good idea, I think, and something probably all communities should think about doing.
Yeah. Okay, the second one we've also talked about, I think, at least a few times, naked gardening. They say stripping down and pottering around the garden has become so popular, especially in the British countryside, that there's now a special day attached to it. And they say the first Saturday of May, but I think there's another one for those south of the equator. I want to say it's in October, but Naked Gardening Day. Have you ever worked outside in your yard or in your garden with no clothes on?
I have. Not often and not often enough, but it's just like any other time you're naked outside. It's wonderful. You know, you may have a pair of gloves on and some pruning shears, but you're still feeling really good and in commune with nature. And it's just a wonderful feeling.
Yeah, no, I agree. There's one on here that's a little bit cheating and not quite naked, but it's naked sledding. And they say a pair of underpants and boots make up the uniform. So they're semi-naked. Well, that doesn't count, does it?
Well, not really. But then again, would you really want to sit down on a cold toboggan or an icy toboggan? I mean, it's kind of like the tongue on the pole thing. Right. You know, you really don't want to stick to the toboggan. So there's probably some safety in that. So just make it a skimpy pair of underpants and we'll let it go.
Yeah, they call it the Naked Sledding World Championship, and it's in a German town. I'm not good at German language, but Braunlage?
I'm not either.
Hurl themselves down on an icy track on a toboggan. They say, it's fun, really. So, okay. We'll go with that.
No, it's not. It's cold.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm skipping that one.
Now, here's a good one that I think should be universal to begin with. Naked Olympics. They actually do this in the city of Adelaide, or near Adelaide in Australia. They have the Naked Olympics, which include frisbee throwing, tug of war, three-legged races, and donut eating competitions. What better thing to do when you're naked? But I think all sports should be naked. I think the Olympics should be naked. But at least in Australia, one time a year they get it right. What about that?
I love that idea because it's back to the old Olympian way of doing things. You know, the the strong athletes in their glory and all their muscles on display and the power. I think it's a wonderful idea. And, you know, talk about no wind resistance. There is no wind resistance. Although they do claim some of those latex things are a little make you better a runner. So they say it makes for much better resistance to have that latex on, but I don't think so.
Oh, no. I think when given the choice, latex or nude, we're going nude every time. You agree?
Yes.
All right. There's another one out there that we read a lot about, and a lot of our listeners have done this, the Naked Cruise Ship Holiday, you know, bare necessities, tour and travel. Mm-hmm. They offer cruise ship vacations where clothing is basically optional. The only time you have to wear clothes is in dining rooms or as you get close to a port, I guess, and certainly while you're in the port. But I've never done that before, but is that something you might be interested in someday? A naked cruise?
You know, there's always a first time for everything. Yeah. Cruises are not, I've been on a couple and they're not my cup of tea. I don't enjoy them as much. Just too many people in too small an area. But in this case, I think it's wonderful because it is a group of people with like-minded and a place where they can enjoy it and be social and meet new people and not have to worry about anything. So, you know, I think it's a very good idea for those who want to participate.
Yeah, no, I agree. I've never tried it, but maybe one of these days we will. Here's one I did back in college. I did it one time a year. It wasn't as though we did it every day, but naked rugby. I was on the team, not the university team, not the varsity, but the, what do they call it, a club sport. In fact, I don't think there was a varsity. Yeah, there wasn't even a varsity or a JV. It was just a club sport, and many universities had them. Basically, if you want to sign up and play football, hockey, and wrestling with no pads and no rules, hey, show up on Saturday, and we'll see if you live. And then one day a year, it was after the season ended, we play one game in the nude. And even they say on this website, this is not a game for the fully clothed, faint-hearted. So it takes a truly brave person to play this high-contact sport naked. Well, okay, I'll agree with that. But every year they do it in Dunedin in New Zealand. And it's become the unofficial curtain raiser for the visually less interesting rugby test matches that come on after that. So how about naked rugby? You up for it?
Yes, I like naked rugby. I have to admit, I love rugby. I like it because it's just all bars, you know, are thrown away. There's no padding. I laugh because every time I see a rugby game, I count how many ears have Band-Aids on them by the end of game. And you know how good the game was. You know, I'm part Scottish. What can I tell you? The Scots like rugby. But I did see some pictures of that rugby game in New Zealand, and those people were having a blast, the people playing and the people watching. So it was wonderful.
Yeah, it's all fun and games until you end up in a full body cast. But until that moment, it's a blast.
I'm surprised more don't end up in a full body cast.
Yeah, no kidding.
Or but it's fun.
Yeah.
So I'm for naked rugby.
Yeah. Now we're talking about things that you can do naked legally and not get arrested. That's the list here. A naked charity run. They have one for the London Zoo called the Streak for Tigers. Well, that's as good an idea as any to get naked and run around. What do you think?
Yes. I mean, we need to save endangered species and take care of our planet. And I'm all for running through the streets of London naked for the tigers.
Or the lions or the elephants.
Or the lions, the giraffes, the monkeys, you know, whatever. Lemurs.
Even for the popcorn and soft drink. I'll streak for that, too. It's
absolutely.
Naked swimming. They do it in Sydney, Australia. The annual Sydney Skinny is a roughly half-mile nude swim aimed at raising money for national parks and promoting a positive body image. Sounds good to me. Let's go swimming. What do you think?
Oh, and there's nothing better than getting in the water naked and to be able to do that, again, with a lot of people and have fun. That has to be a real exciting time for the people in Australia.
Well, here's one in the Netherlands. It's a motocross / music festival. You run naked while wearing a motorcycle helmet. Why not? Just go for it. Another excuse to be naked and out in nature running around.
Heck yeah. I mean, yeah. You never know when you might need a helmet when you're running naked. So it's all in the spirit of the motocross, I guess. That's pretty funny. Right. I like
They have one, as you heard at the beginning of the show, when we talked to Doria from the UK about naked yoga. Naked yoga is on their list. And they say apparently skimpy lycra shorts and crop tops were too restrictive for some yoga fanatics. So one day they decided to do their downward dogs and sun salutations in the nude. And now naked yoga has become a thing. And I can't remember, unless I had to, you know, in a public gym where clothing was mandatory. To me, working out nude is the only way to go because you are totally unrestricted with your movement. But naked yoga is a thing. Have you done that?
Yes. I'm not a big yoga aficionado. I don't know a lot about it. I'm kind of at the basics. But the first time I tried it, I was in the privacy of my own home watching some YouTube video. And there you go. I was naked and it does feel good because it is not restrictive. And I think that if you can do it, then you can find a group that does it, then it would be a wonderful thing to participate in.
Yeah, I found, working out nude, whether it's yoga or running on a treadmill or anything else, in front of a mirror is even better because then you can see the effect it's having on your body, your arms, your legs, your chest, your back, whatever you're working out. You can actually see it. And for some reason, I could even feel it better because I wasn't covered up or restricted by clothes. So let's go work out naked today.
I'm for that. Let's go.
Okay. The last one, and I guess they do this somewhere in Spain on a beach, naked cross-country running. And they say every year runners wearing nothing more than their sneakers flock there for the 3-mile cross-country race. Well, I'm all for, we talked about naked running a few times already during this session, but cross-country race, naked, 3 miles, let's go. How about you?
I'm all for that too. I'm more of a jogger and walker than an actual runner. But, again, it's communing with nature. It's out there feeling your body free and open to that wonderful air and getting exercise. There is nothing better.
Yeah, no, I agree. All right. Well, we have our list of 11 things we can do naked legally and not get arrested like those people in Malaysia. You know, you always have to think, if I get caught doing this, will I be arrested? And if the answer is yes, then you have to make a decision. My decision is always, I might get arrested. Okay, I'm not doing it. These people in Malaysia did. But now we have 11 things we can legally do naked. So maybe we'll sign up today. Lisa, what do you think? Sign up for all 11 and make our plans.
I think that sounds like an excellent idea. And maybe we can do running on the cruise ship whilst and then organize a rugby game on a deck. I mean, you don't know. We could have a lot of fun. It could be a lot of fun.
Combine them all at once. Why not?
Absolutely.
All right. Always great to have you with us, our resident correspondent in naturism, the terrific Lisa Monroe. Lisa, you've started the new year fully nude. We expect you to be that way the rest of the year. Go have a naked, clothes-free, a perfect week.
Thank you, sir. And you too. Here's to a wonderful 24 for everyone who's listening. And can't wait to see how the new shows come out this year.
All right. Have a great day, Lisa. We'll see you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. The terrific Lisa Monroe, always bringing some humor and some joy and some sunshine to the studio. So we thank Lisa Monroe for once again being with us today. You are listening to Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, episode 28 today. Happy New Year once again, first show of 2024. And now let's get to part two of my interview with nudist, nude model, podcast host, and author, the very energetic and terrific Christy Jessica. You know, you pointed out the issues with a wide-angle lens, for example. If the model puts their hands too close to the camera, all heck's going to break loose. Mm-hmm. See, those are the things I had never heard that before. So if I were to show up for a modeling session, I wouldn't know that. So the fact that you're telling people about it, you want to be aware of this. Are you recommending the models ask the photographer what kind of camera they're using first before they get involved?
So the book itself is mostly on the posing end. I do indicate, especially the lighting. The lighting is probably the most important aspect of the photography. So in general, a lot of how I describe, because it's images with text. So the text also indicates how to angle your body and your face towards the lighting for different things that you're trying to accomplish. So generally having the face towards the light is always the best. best. Otherwise, you're going to have weird shadows on your face, which is not good. And then how the light is hitting your body is also important for different lighting setups. Yeah. And then when it comes to the lenses, a lot of that will be learned through, like, and a lot of modeling and photography. And this is how I learned, is just the photographer takes some pictures and then shows on the back of the camera. And that's the best way to get direct feedback of, oh, okay, that pose was kind of working, but if I were to just move my elbow a little bit more this way or whatever, then you've already seen the pose that you just did, and you could do it the same way, but improve it a little bit. And the book kind of talks about things to look out for, like, you know, having negative space between your arm and your side so that your arm isn't like squished up against your side, different things like that, that will improve on the aestheticness of the images.
Okay. You know, back to what you mentioned a few moments ago, it used to be models didn't help each other out at all. Basically highly competitive. I'm not going to share stuff with you because you might get better than I am. So forget you. How has all that changed? Just because we're all in this together and you're trying to help each other?
I think that when I started, especially, a lot of the influence for what modeling was still like focused on Playboy and that TV show America's Next Top Model, where, you know, Playboy has like the Playmate of the Month. So there's like these contests and like voting and like, you know, different like popularity focused, like, oh, are you good enough to get in? Are you going to make it to the top? That was kind of the America's Next Top Model. You're going to get a prize if you're better than all the other models on the show, right? And that was kind of the how the landscape of modeling looked. Most of what people saw of modeling was that models are in competition with each other. We're doing like bikini contests and like, you know, runway shows where they have prizes at the end. So there's a lot of competition, like just in the world with modeling. And the more and more social media became popular over the course of time, it became more cool to help each other out. So in 2014, I got invited. I was befriending models in real life. Like, the first full-time traveling freelance model that I befriended was a gal in Portland, Oregon, who was 5'3" and I'm like 5'2". And I was like, I need to find somebody who's around my height who does this full-time, because if that exists, that means I could do it too. So I found her. I found out that she was hosting like a art gallery in Portland. And so I'm from Seattle. So I drove from Seattle down to Portland to meet her. And I was like, hi, like socially awkward, right? I'm like, I'm Christy, I look up to you, and I hope that I can do what you're doing someday. And she was like, oh, great. If you ever want to travel through Portland, you can stay at my house. And I was like, wow. I can stay at your house. That's so cool. So she invited me to stay at her house. And over the course of time, like over years, if we were in the same city, we would like stay at the same hotel and like work with photographers in the area. And she was the one that invited me into a secret Facebook group of only traveling models that would give each other helpful information. And once I got invited into that group, like the way that Facebook groups work is you could type in a keyword and then it'll pull up anything that is using that keyword. So models would talk about photographers there. And like if a photographer did something bad, like, you know, tried to sexually harass them or something, they would be mentioned in that group. And you could just type a photographer's name and see what other people had said about them. Like, oh, they were really nice and really respectful. I highly recommend, or look out for this guy. Like, he's going to give you some trouble. So I was like, wow, people are giving their advice on this. And there were so many people that I had worked with that were already mentioned in the group, because the freelance traveling modeling industry is actually, it's like a kind of small, like there's probably in the whole world, maybe around 300 of us that are doing this full time as professionals, and maybe a little bit more now because it's becoming a more popular thing to do. I got welcomed into this community around 2014, 2015. And from there, that's when I started to feel a lot more like comfortable in like planning my trips. Basically, when it came from being a local Seattle model, in order for me to do this full time, I realized that there's not enough photographers that pay freelance models just in one city for me to be able to pay my bills. If I wanted to make a full time income, I would have to export myself to different major cities every month. So that's what I learned how to do. And that's what this gal in Portland kind of gave me the idea of how to do this. So I had started traveling to different major cities like New York, Miami, you know, Wichita or whatever. And I would put travel notices on my social media. And by this point in my life, I had a Model Mayhem account. And Model Mayhem is a website where you host a portfolio. And it's kind of a networking website where photographers and models could reach out to each other. So you could put travel notices in different cities. And that's how I got a lot of my work back then, is mostly through Model Mayhem. Fast forward, like, you know, I had been traveling. I finally joined this private Facebook group. And I could see that, like, other models that were giving each other advice, you know, I felt more like friendly and comfortable with them. And then the people who are kind of bogarting information or who are being more gatekeeper-y, or like, oh, I'm going to be secretive about my contacts, they seemed less friendly. So through that, you know, you make more friends with people who are willing to give helpful information to you. And so I was like, oh, I need to be helpful. Like, I should be helpful. Like, I learned the hard way. I had a lot of really hard experiences, and I worked with some people who were sketchy, and I felt like I need to escape their basement studio or whatever. Because, right, like you were saying before, a lot of photographers aren't doing it for a professional reason. And a lot of photographers who are also nice, they're not publishing in magazines. They're just, they have a creative vision. They see other images on Pinterest and on Instagram, and they want to create stuff like that. And they have a major job, like they're an engineer or like they're in tech or something. And their photography is like their artistic, you know, way of expressing things that they think are cool. And there's like a little photographer community too, so they can compare their work. So there's a lot of nice photographers who aren't necessarily professional photographers who hire professional freelance models because we show up on time, we don't bring drama to the shoot, and we know how to pose. And we're consistent, and we can consistently give them good poses and good experiences at the shoot. And so people that are like just trying to make nice photos often hire freelance models. So that's kind of like coming full circle back to your question before, letting you know that there is a difference in like just somebody who has a regular job at Starbucks, or, you know, maybe they're in a nursing career and they live in a city where they can't travel out of the city very much because they have a full-time job in their city. In order to become a full-time freelance traveling model, you have to be not only willing to travel and like make the time to travel, because it can't really like be a full-time model in one city. Like I mentioned, there's usually not enough photographers in any given city that are able to hire you consistently, unless you're like in Las Vegas, because people travel to Las Vegas often. So if you have a job that's kind of holding you in one place and you don't have like a flexibility to travel very much, it makes it very hard to do modeling full time. So there's this big thing where you have to be willing to sacrifice a lot of stuff that requires you to be in the same city in order to become a full-time freelance model. And in addition to that, like, obviously, a lot of people who are doing creative projects want to photograph nudes. They want to photograph artistic nude and glamour nudes. Not very many people, just like most people that are hiring freelance nude models, they're I would say 80 to 90% men, which, you know, a lot of them are very nice, cool, respectful men, but then some of them are weird, which is why we have the safety groups and stuff. So over the course of time of doing all this nude modeling and like being in these scenarios where I'm working with photographers and I'm naked, like in the studio or outdoors, I've just become more and more comfortable with being nude in general. So yeah. To the point where I'm more comfortable posing nude than with clothes on, because I feel like when I'm posing, I'm using the shapes and the lines of my body to create a nice photo. And when I'm wearing something, it's blocking my body. So, yeah. So I like the imagery of nude creations. It's kind of hard to share that work anymore. Instagram used to be a lot more welcoming of artistic nudes. Like, you used to be able to just censor your nipples and post a nice artistic photo, but you can't do that anymore. They're a lot more strict. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, that is actually what I was going to ask you, but you just answered the question before I could ask it, which is great. if given a choice of wearing a whole bunch of clothes for a shoot or being nude, you're going to go with nude every time, right?
Yeah. And now that it's like, I don't want to like just comply with social media standards for my modeling. But right. if I'm going to post something on Instagram to let people know that I'm still modeling, now I have to be wearing something in the photo. Otherwise, my account gets shut down. Right. So right. I'll do a lot of these artistic photos, and I'll come up with ways to make it like artistic in an aesthetic way that I like. So sometimes kind of like a sheer fabric that's like kind of draped over me barely, I can post that. But there are other platforms like Twitter. There's a new artistic platform called implied.vip that I have a profile on, and they allow nudity, like artistic nudity. So there's different web pages. I mean, there's a lot of other websites too that allow nudity, like 500px and like Flickr and stuff like that. A lot of photographers have their portfolio on those websites. And then on my actual portfolio on ChristyJessica.com, I have my favorite artistic nudes. And I would say that if somebody asked me what kind of model I am, I would say I'm like a freelance art nude model. I do like a little bit of like glamour and a little bit of erotica, but I would say that my primary genre would be like artistic nude and like nude yoga and underwater like nudes and stuff. But I incorporate sheer fabrics and sometimes like a bodysuit that's like not distracting, that like when you're looking at it, it kind of looks like I'm nude. Like I have some different nude bodysuits where I could still post those on my Instagram. And Instagram is definitely like where I have the largest following, and like everybody in the industry like basically has to have an Instagram in order to be like, Instagram is super involved, you know, in the industry, which it's, people are kind of starting to like move off of it and do Twitter and implied.vip instead, because it's more welcoming of, you know, artistic nudity. So, but you know, it's, that's just kind of how the internet works. Like platforms are cool for a long time and then eventually they phase out. And I feel like Instagram is on this long phasing out of, so, but it is definitely, it's a challenge. And there's definitely laws that started in 2018 that are initiating all of these bans on nudity. And I mean, I could go into a little bit of detail on that if you're interested.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with that. So there are laws passed, federal laws or state laws, or what's going on?
Yeah, so it's not directly about like nudity or provocative imagery, but basically the law, it's the SESTA-FOSTA bill that was initiated in 2018. Basically, it's anti-sex trafficking laws that have really vague terms that also end up affecting people like, you know, artistic nude creators or people who are consensually sharing provocative images online because it helps their provocative career. Like, you know, my career is arguably provocative. But basically, the SESTA-FOSTA bill said that if it attacks the platforms. So like if Instagram, for example, is sharing content that is suspicious of sex trafficking, and suspicious of sex trafficking is super vague, you know, then the entire platform could get shut down. So the platforms themselves, as soon as they hear about this law, they're like, oh, we have to make sure that none of our users are doing anything that is potentially suspicious of trafficking. And okay. So as a freelance art nude model, I'm sharing, you know, images that are showing a lot of skin, which technically falls under the guise of, you know, potentially suspicious of trafficking, even though I am being completely, you know, running my own career, creating my own work, even taking self-portraits and making my own photos, and everything is completely consensual and I'm controlling everything, it still falls under the category of being suspicious of trafficking. So as a result, platforms have becoming more and more strict on imagery showing skin. So, and it's affected the entire industry. There's a lot of people who are even more well-versed in describing it, but that's basically what it is you can't be pushing that line on major social media platforms. And as a result, there's other like satellite industries, like people who are, you know, sugar babies or like sex workers who are like, you know, selling, you know, online services or in-person services got affected by this too. Like the personal ads on Craigslist also got shut down as a result of the SESTA-FOSTA bill. And Backpage, the entire website got shut down. So people that used to be using Backpage for their primary source of income, you know, maybe they were doing like, you know, naked massages or like, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend services and stuff like that. And they made their entire income through Backpage.com. Now they are no longer able to use that. So they lost business and it changed the industry a lot. And there's definitely like similarities with nude modeling as there are with like, you know, sex work. So we're technically categorized as sex workers because what we're doing is nude. And if you're like a government politician going, oh, boobs, oh, you're obviously doing porn, you know, and this is like sex work. So we fall under that category.
Yeah. I'm glad they have that law in place to look out for trafficking. You're trafficking women and children especially, but guys as well. But
so the law actually harmed the ability to follow sex trafficking online in order to bust them, because the verbiage that people use to like trade online, now the verbiage, if you are a victim of trafficking, there are like online forums that victims used to be able to use to like say that they needed help. And the verbiage is now also against terms of service for these websites as a result of SESTA-FOSTA. So that means that like the pimps and their victims have all been pushed to the streets. And when you're on the streets, you know, it's harder to have a paper trail of conversations on the internet that you could use as evidence to bust somebody.
Yeah.
So the verbiage and the trading of imagery on the internet has in the past been easier to use as evidence to bust somebody. But now since everything is more pushed to the streets, it's harder to have that information to convict people who are trafficking people. So yeah, it's you would think that it helps, but it actually made it a lot harder to find and monitor who was trafficking so that you can bust them, because the traffickers are now doing everything the old school way again.
Yeah, offline. We're talking to Christy Jessica today on the show, and she's a full-time traveler, nudist, and creative since 2012. She has on our website. And I want to talk about your podcast in just a moment.
Okay.
But you're doing so much out there, you know, in terms of nude modeling and enjoying it, and you're doing a very good job. Had a chance to look through your modeling portfolio that everybody can access on your website. Tons of photos, and every one of them just has that spectacular look about them. You know, there's nothing dirty, there's nothing lewd. It's just, you know, Christy Jessica with no clothes on in various poses. So we encourage people to check that out. But how can people get a hold of you, or how can they find your website? How can they get your book of posing ideas? Everything that you do, how can our listeners find today?
You can find everything on me at ChristyJessica.com. If you go to ChristyJessica.com, it takes you to like my homemade Linktree. I don't use Linktree. I just made my own. It's a list of buttons. And so there's a button for my Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, my portfolio, my book, my documentary, my podcast, my newsletter. So you can find all of that stuff by going to ChristyJessica.com.
All right. Easy enough. Let's talk about your podcast now before we let you go. You've recently started a podcast called Sunrise Life. And as I understand it, I want you to fill in the details. You're basically interviewing other models. Is that basically the premise?
Yeah, that is mostly it. It's deep conversations with fellow freelance models.
Yeah. And you get into just about everything. You know, heard some of the episodes. What has struck you the most when you're talking to these other models? Are they going through the same things you've gone through? Are they totally different? Are you learning from them as well?
Yeah, you know, a lot of them have had the strict religious upbringing, interestingly, but a lot of them also have either strict religious parents, or they have hippie parents who are super chill and like also into art. And so they felt comfortable being nude because their parents were like chill with it. Also, a lot of the freelance models that I've interviewed there's a lot of similarities that I've noticed through a lot of these episodes. And a lot of it is that becoming an adult and being like, you know, a sensual woman is learning how to set boundaries with people and how to express themselves in a way that feels empowering to them and not just having to feel like they have to say yes to everybody's ideas all the time.
Okay, that's very good. And is this something you're going to continue doing? And also, how often do you release an episode? Is there a schedule or is this whenever people are available?
Podcasts release every Thursday morning. And so I try to keep it on schedule for that. And I have a lot of episodes in queue right now. So I've got like 5 queued up and I've got more scheduled to be recorded in August. Okay. So yeah, a lot of interesting episodes are on the rise also.
All right. And they can access all of your episodes just by going to your website, right? ChristyJessica.com, and you have a link for your podcast.
Yeah. So the link to my podcast on ChristyJessica.com takes you to the podcast homepage. And on the podcast homepage, there's a little button for all the different platforms that I'm on. So there's a button for Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio. There's little buttons for all of those for people to click on to go to their listening platform of choice.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, wherever they get their podcast, you're probably there. And if not, they'll certainly find you. Well, it's been great to talk to you today. We've been talking to Christy Jessica, currently out in Arizona, where it's really hot, right? It's really hot out there most days.
It is really hot. There's a heat wave right now.
When you have a heat wave in a very hot city, that can get pretty hot. But, you know, I guess in some ways you're living in the right place. If you're going to live your life nude with no clothes on, you know, it's kind of hard to do that in northern Alaska or Antarctica, but you can do it in Phoenix, right? Or Arizona.
Yeah. It's pretty chill. I'm kind of out in the middle. I'm not like in town. I'm not kind of on the edges of town. So it's nice.
You know, just out of curiosity before we let you go now, obviously you were raised in a very conservative fashion.
Yeah.
Religious school, you know, added another element of being really strict. And then you went off the grid a little bit. You know, we'll talk about those issues later, but now you've gone from really strict, got to watch everything you do, to fully blown nude modeling. You're naked as often as you can. Any reaction from your parents or your friends or siblings, if you have any?
Yeah. So my siblings knew about my nude modeling before my parents did. We're pretty close in age. I have 2 younger sisters. We're born 20 months apart, so we're all pretty close. And at first, like, apparently they didn't think highly of it. They thought that I was just being slutty or whatever, and maybe I kind of was at the start. But my mom found out about it because she saw in my room that I had these discs with my name on it, because photographers would burn a disc of images back when, you know, before USB drives or whatever. And she saw images of me that she was like, oh, I'm not sure about these, but she didn't talk to me about it. So I didn't come clean with my parents until I was 26. Like, I think my mom already knew about my nude modeling, and my dad knew that I did modeling, especially after I got fired because I wasn't working at a job anymore. So to him, what I was doing was a mystery, and I would just occasionally send like headshots to him because I knew that he would be offended by anything risque. Also, I had a really weird experience with my dad when I was 19. He saw a photo of me that was tagged on Facebook that really offended him. It was kind of like a BDSM themed image where I was like in this latex outfit with a leash on me and some other woman was holding the other end of the leash. And he thought that I was being like trafficked. He thought that I was like a sex slave or something, because the image itself was crazy and he had never seen me in that way. And he freaked out. He was like, you need to just go back to church. You know, you're going down the wrong path. And I'm like, Dad, it was just a photo idea. Anyway, so fast forward, I'm 26 years old. During the time that I was filming my documentary, I made a documentary called Bring Something Sexy. It's titled that because photographers often say that when I'm asking, what do you want me to bring to the shoot? And I was like making this documentary, and at first the whole thing was just going to be informational, where I was talking about, you know, this is what modeling is, and here's interviews with other models, and here's behind the scenes. And I wanted it to be informational, just to share what freelance modeling is and how it's different from agency modeling. And over the course of time that I was filming it, I was like, well, when this movie comes out, I'm going to be nude in it. And my parents are going to know about the movie, but I haven't told them about my nude modeling. And I'm like, shit, I'm going to have to tell them before the movie gets released. Yeah. And I was like, well, if I'm going to tell them before the movie gets released, I should like make that a part of the movie. So I was like, oh, shit, I'm going to film myself, you know, coming clean to my parents. So I did, with each parent separately. My dad was like a dashboard confession. I like trapped him in my car and I put the camera on the dashboard and I was like, I have to tell you something. And my mom, I set up an interview with my filmmaker where I like invited my mom over and had the camera set up with my filmmaker. And I was like, I'm going to run an errand for a few minutes. You know, here's my filmmaker. He's going to ask you some awkward questions. Okay. And so he was asking her, how do you feel about your daughter's nude photos on the internet and stuff like that? Yeah. Okay. So how do they feel about it? I guess I'm spoiling the movie. But anyway, my dad was shocked, I could tell, but he was really nice on the camera. He was like, I accept you, you know, even though that's something I don't think highly of. But then right after that, the next day, he emailed me and he was like, I just joined a support group for parents of kids who are like in a sex trade. And I'm like, Dad, that's not what it is. So he was really rough on it. My dad is the one who's a little bit more strict growing up, and he has the more conservative views. My mom is more chill. She's mostly just worried about me being safe and happy. And at first she wasn't sure if I was safe and happy within the nude modeling, but over time she sees how successful and happy I am. And my dad was really hard to convince for a long time. It probably took like 6 or 7 years after the by the time I was like 31 or 32, he finally stopped telling me about other jobs that he wanted me to get, or like he was suggesting that I work at the post office. And I'm like, the post office? That sounds terrible. I don't want to work at the post office. He's like, oh, you get good government benefits. And I'm like, yeah, but I'd be depressed.
Yeah.
So I was like filtering a lot of my posts on Facebook so that my dad couldn't see them.
Yeah.
I finally started allowing him to see images of me, like by unfiltering him from certain posts. And I was like kind of releasing more and more like implied nudes with like creative lighting or like weird shadow patterns on me. And he could see the comments that people were like, oh, really nice image. Oh, it was great to work with you. So positive support on my end that he could see. And so he started leaving positive comments. And finally, it took a long time. Like, I'm really lucky that I wasn't, like, you know, just kicked out of the family or whatever. But my parents are, even though I was raised really strict, they had the ability to be accepting, which I feel really grateful of. Even though he's not, like, down with the nudity, but he can see that the way that I'm doing it is from a creative standpoint, and it's not, like, this weird, oh, a bunch of creepy guys trying to take advantage of me all the time, which, you know, that is there at times, but I know how to avoid the creepy weirdos now since I learned through experience.
Yeah, well, very much so. Well, it's been great to have talked to you today, talking to Christy Jessica in Arizona right now, a nude model, and lives her life nude as much as possible. And, you know, I kind of had to laugh to myself when you said your dad wanted you to work at the post office. Your answer could have been, well, but Dad, we can't be naked there. We got to work clothes. So no, I'm not going to do it.
That's funny.
Great to have had you on. We want people to check out your modeling portfolio, your art store, your book of posing ideas, your documentary, everything you have going on, and including your podcast, Sunrise Life. And Christy Jessica, you're to be admired. You came through a lot. I mean, you had some rough years there. Somehow you got through it all. Now you're highly successful in showing other people the way to do this, to live a clothes-free life and also work in a clothes-free environment in a very appropriate way. So we thank you. We thank you for everything. Christy Jessica, go out there and have a great day. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
The very terrific Christy Jessica. Hope you enjoyed that interview. Check her out. She's all over the place in social media. You can also hit her website, ChristyJessica.com. Check out her book, her podcast, her nude modeling, everything that she has to offer. And we thank Christy Jessica for all of her time on today's show. And now that we've kicked off 2024, clothes-free for all of the right reasons, let's make a plan to get together every Saturday morning at 6 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time for a brand new show. Well, thank you very much for being with us today on Naked Nudists and Naturists, episode 28 today. We give you a brand new show every Saturday morning at 6 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. Continue to join us. Check us out on our website, nakednudistandnaturist.com, Spotify, Google, Amazon/Audible, Apple Podcasts, and also on Twitter. You can write us anywhere, anytime, any place. And we thank you for being with us today. Plan to join us for every single one of our shows here and have your clothes off when you're listening. We have our clothes off when we're broadcasting, enjoying the naturist life.
We celebrate clothes-free living for all. Remember to enjoy being naked and join us again for Naked Nudist and Naturist.
We drop a brand new show every Saturday morning, so come back and join us. Have your clothes off when you do for Naked Nudist and Naturist. Have a great clothes-free day.